Just what kind of knockers do you like? Big knockers? Little knockers? Maybe no knockers at all. And just like the knockers we have, the knobs come in different sizes as well. Not to mention colors and shapes. At Knobs and Knockers, we have our biggest selection on display for you to handle and feel what fits your lifestyle the best. And if you don't see either knobs or knockers that turn you on, just ask one of our friendly staff to take something out for you that may not be on display for you to fondle. Knobs and Knockers, located at the S&M Family Fun Center, next to the Shack of Set.
Due to the extreme nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the next episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. Focusing on everything that's relevant to the greatest generation alive today, Generation X. So if it involves movies, music, TV, and a bit of history from 1960 through 1999, we're going to talk about it. Who knows? You might just learn something before it's all said and done. And if you're lucky, this grouchy old fart might just regale you with a story or two. I'm Robert Pop, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Funeral Kazoo, because funerals can be a downer.
A time when you've lost a loved one, it's difficult to find any joy. Life seems to have no meaning while going through the grieving process. Introducing the Funeral Kazoo. You just can't help to shake those blues when you hear your favorite hymns being played by a kazoo. The Funeral March. Amazing Grace. And even O Danny Boy. Now, don't that sound so much more cheery than those old bagpipes? The Funeral Kazoo. Let's put the fun back in funeral.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully, you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the second annual GXO Thanksgiving Extravaganza. This time, as always, that I've done in the past, which has been one other time, of course, we're going to listen to the WKRP in Cincinnati Turkey Day drop, which I have made a really kind of a tradition here in my household. And, you know, I hope you find it as funny as I do. My God, all these years later, I still end up just cracking up and crying. I'm laughing so hard. And honestly, my kids and my, even now my grandkids, they're like, we're going to watch a turkey drop? And you're darn right. You're darn right we are. You know, ever since That brings up, you know, all the different traditions and everything. I guess ever since I can remember, Thanksgiving was probably one of my favorite of the holidays. It's not really about anything but food, family, and friends. You know, you're just being thankful for what you got and possibly sharing with others. I know that sounds pretty sentimental, but, you know, down deep, I've got kind of that sentimental streak. A few years ago, though, I do have to tell you that I kind of regret doing this, but, you know, let me tell you what happened. So, it happened in the Thanksgiving of 2021, and I was still married to one of my many wives, and as always, I am like a, I don't know what you want to call it, early bird. I'm an old man. I'm early to bed, early to rise. I already know this. People laugh and they go, "Oh, you go to bed at 8:30? That's a late night for me a lot of times, you know. But usually I'm up between 4:30 and 5 every fucking day, whether I want to be or not. And even the days that that my producer lets me sleep in, it's still rough for me to get past even 6 a.m. So, a couple of years ago, I got up, I'm preparing the banquet, if you will, with, and I've got, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, my kids are all over the place, you know, one likes turkey, one likes ham, one likes both. No, I don't like turkey. Yes, I don't like ham, blah, blah, blah. So it's all, you know, and I try to cater to everybody. This particular one, like I said, it was the first year after it was actually the first Thanksgiving after Riley passed away, and Harley was not even a year old yet. And so, you know, having everybody able to be there was really, really cool. I remember we had something like, I don't know, what was it, a 18, 20-pound turkey. And, you know, we had that 3 or 4 pound ham for the kid who don't like turkey. Stuffing. And, yes, only one stuffing will do. I've had some really shitty stuffing over the years, and so stovetop is my go-to. I think it's wonderful, and you can condemn me for not making it from scratch, but I've had some really shitty stuffing made from scratch over the years, including from family members. You know, I like sweet potatoes, and of course I have to do them two different ways. I don't like it all with the caramely marshmallows. I think marshmallows are gross, but you know, I made it both ways so that whether I can accommodate those that like it. You know, then of course the typical mashed potatoes, gravy, corn. For those people that, oh God, I don't, green beans. I just, ew. Ew. And the reason I hate green beans so much is because growing up poor, that's what my mom used as a filler for everything. She might have a half a pound of hamburger to get us through till next payday, which is probably a week away. But we got fucking cans and cans and cans of green beans that we helped both grandmas put up in the summer. God, I can't stand green beans. One of my many wives, she made this cheesy pasta casserole thing. It's pretty good. She knew how to make some deviled eggs, though, and so we had that, and we had a, you know, just kind of your typical relish tray, you know, pickles, olives, carrots, celery, broccoli, cauliflower, you know. My mom made this 7-layer salad. I think it's gross because it has peas in it, so, you know, we made it for everybody else, and my dad used to make this thing called the Waldorf salad, and Oh, my God, that's just, it's disgusting. Mainly because it has, again, marshmallows in it. So, and then, excuse me, I'll try to edit that out. I am a huge pie guy. Love pie. Love pie. You know, we had your typical pumpkin, apple, cherry, that type of stuff. So, and I'm sure you're probably thinking to yourself, good God, Rob, how many fucking people were you feeding? Well, that year, I believe it would have been about 19-ish, if my math is right, because we had me and my wife. My three kids, my DNA, three of them, her DNA, two of them, we had, would have been two grandsons, two granddaughters, with one on the way, would have been my two male DNA and their wives, and her DNA's wife, her DNA's fiance. So yeah, about 17, 19 people, somewhere in there. Everybody started showing up. It was after about 1 o'clock. Reason being is, you know, the wife at the time, she had to work usually in the morning. Once she got that all done about 1 o'clock, she could come over. We had some other members of the family that were in doing some health care. And so it was, you know, wanted to be accommodating. And, you know, once they got there, of course, everybody started milling through the kitchen. And our kitchen wasn't huge. I mean, I would have loved to have had a much bigger kitchen. And eventually, when I do buy a house again, I plan on having, like, this monster kitchen that everybody can just gather there. Because, you know, we go out there, we snack, have a few cocktails or wine, or, you know, and everybody just gets caught up on whatever's happening in the prospective household. And I remember that year we had news about a new boyfriend for my DNA. Or were they already dating? They might have already been dating somewhat by then. They would have. Because it was the following spring is when he asked me if he could marry her. So, yeah, we had an engagement. That was from her DNA. They were just getting engaged. A new baby, that was an addition to one of my DNA. We had people with new jobs and new cars and, you know. And then, of course, you get the grandkids all there. They're dumping all the toys out in the living room from the totes and, you know, trying to ask them questions. Oh, how are you doing in school? You know, and all they're doing is they're worried about, you know, well, he's got this and they got that, you know, whatever. So, anyway, as we got closer to the time to eat, you know, we did the kind of like a buffet style. Everybody, you know, just kind of lined up, grabbed their plates, and they filed through like they hadn't eaten for a week. And again, there are some things that I don't deviate from. If you've listened to the program for any length of time, you're already going to know this. So once everything was all said and done, and we were all collectively falling into our food comas, my son, my middle one, Dalton, he says, "So, Dad, what are we going to do with the leftovers?" And this is one of those things that I just can't let it go. You know, dad joke. I replied in my best brain from Pinky and the Brain, "Same thing we do every Thanksgiving, Pinky. Try and take over the world." To which my daughter Ariel then chimed in, "Dad, that stopped being funny like 10 years ago." And without missing a beat, Logan chimes in and says, "Yeah, and it wasn't that funny then." You know, the thing is, I get it. I'm never going to stop, you know, and I told him that, you know, yeah, okay, but I'm never going to quit. So What we had done after I had moved back from Colorado is whenever we had big leftovers, we would gather things up and put them together on a couple of platters and take them down to Homeless Park there in Grand Island, here in Podunk, Nebraska. And, you know, and of course, you know, everybody chimed in, yeah, that's a great idea. So we got that all wrapped up and, you know, pretty soon everybody was ready to go home. And, you know, her son had to be to work at 3 a.m. His new wife had to be to work. You know, her daughter, my son's family, they weren't far behind because they lived down kind of in the same area. And so, you know, after we got all the kids together and grandkids gave kisses and hugs and everything as they were all leaving, my wife and I decided that it was about time we were going to take this down there to Homeless Park. And the other kids were filing out because they were going to go Black Friday shopping. And of course, you know, I piped in there to my son. I said, "You going with them?" "Hell no." You know, he, of course, you know, comes back with, "We're going to sit around, watch football and play video games." And I'll never forget this. From out of the blue in the other room, I didn't even know these kids were even listening. I hear my grandsons go, "Yeah." So, you know, everybody was bailing on us. And so we decided we were just going to take this stuff down to Homeless Park. And the reason I call it that, it's actually Pioneer Park, but there used to be this big fountain there that they tore it out because all the homeless people were going there and they basically were bathing in it. So I know that's gross, but hey, hygiene, you know. Whenever we do that, or whatever we did that, I'd always hit the closet, see if I had any, you know, jackets or old blankets or something like that that we could take down there to them that they could use, socks, maybe a bottle of booze or something like that. So anyway, we got everything all loaded up and jumped in the truck and headed down there. And normally there's about, oh, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 homeless people down there either sleeping on a bench or under a tree. But I remember this night specifically that there was only 2 people there. And I parked the truck and we gathered up the stuff and we started walking towards them. And one of the homeless guys, his name's Tom, and I recognized him from my days managing AutoZone. And he used to park his van in our parking lot. And kind of, you know, I was looking at it like, hey, you know what? He's free security. He's watching over the building. I don't harass him. He ain't hurting anything. And it was a safe place for him to be. And so, you know, and super nice guy. He was always, you know, clean and shaven, always polite. This was really just kind of a life that Tom chose. You know, he worked around town part-time, mostly kept to himself. The other guy, though, and Tom even looked at me when I started to head over that way and just kind of gave me the hairy eyeball. The other guy I'd never seen before. The closer I got, there was just something about him that set my spidey senses off. I don't know what the fuck it was, but man, something just, like I said, just made my cackles stand up. The dude was seriously foul looking and smelling. I'm going to tell you what. The guy looked like his beard and hair probably had not seen a comb all year long that year. His clothes, I'll never forget this. They looked so stiff from being so caked up with dirt and grime and blah. You know, that when he did move, it's almost like his sleeves and his pant legs did not move with his body, because they were just like stuck in place. And, oh, good Lord, the smell. Holy shit. I mean, I guess the best way I could put this is if you, and I've been accused of being able to paint a picture with words. Well, I don't know so much about that, but I do get fairly graphic, so you can imagine this in your head. So start out with a base of body odor, that rank, rotten onion smell. Then throw dirty feet in on that. And then top it all off with a combination of dog shit and human feces. And that's what this dude smelled like. Holy shit. I mean, I wasn't within probably 20, 30 feet of him. And, I mean, it was enough. I've got a pretty strong stomach, but this dude, like I said, was foul. You know, when I started to walk over to him and I sat the platters and the garbage bags that I had put the coats and blankets in, Tom just looked at me like, hey, you know what, appreciate it, you know, and just kept watching this dude kind of over the corner of his eye. You know, Tom went over and grabbed a plate, grabbed a coat and a blanket, said, hey, thank you, really appreciate this, this is really nice. The other guy, he went after that platter like, I don't know, like a rabid animal. I mean, lips smacking, chewing with his mouth open, grunting as he was taking bites, you know, sounded like that. I'll never forget, the food was just like flying all over on his hair, in his beard, and through a mouthful of food, this guy just kind of forces, you're a friend. And that was it. He grabbed the bag of the coats and blankets and guarded it like we were going to try and take it away from him. And, you know, when he was looking in there, he must have found one of the bottles of cheap wine that I had in there, you know, very fine screw top. And, I mean, he got that out of there and was going to town, slurping it. I mean, it was running down the sides of his mouth, down his neck. And just foul. Just, I mean, you know, you could be like Tom, you know. I mean, Tom chose that life. He was still very clean. He was polite. Everything. And this guy? Mm-mm. No. No. After we got done, just, you know, here you go. Best of luck to you. We get back in the truck. And I could hear this guy start to say something, and I thought he was saying something to me, but I think he was just talking to himself. He's just muttering. I couldn't make anything out. We got home, we settled in for the night. That Thanksgiving tryptophan sleep that you do off of turkey and pie. Well, about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, Daisy, our chihuahua, she started going absolutely ape shit. And I mean, this dog would, you know, if a fish farted in the neighborhood, she'd go nuts. But this was just weird. And I mean, barking, growling, hair on her back standing up. She was up on the back of the couch. And of course, that got Harley started. Startled her out of a deep sleep in bed next to me. So then she goes out there. She's got this ridge of fur that's standing up all the way from her collar down to her tail. And like I said, they were both carrying on like somebody was outside. And, you know, it's early a.m. It's Black Friday. So, of course, I write it off at, you know, maybe one of our neighbors was going to Kohl's or Walmart to try to save another $15. And I tried to settle them down, because my wife at the time had to work the next day. And the only thing I really had planned, and I typically will do this every year, is I'll start decorating for Christmas. Hanging lights, putting the tree up, all that shit. Well, I gotta tell you, they had absolutely no interest in calming down. They kept going to the front door, and then the back door, and then the front door, and then the back door. And just their behavior really kind of got me just, well, for lack of a better term, concerned. And I went to the gun cabinet, grabbed my pistol, and went outside to check it out. First, I went out back. And it looked like the gates were still locked and closed. And then I went out front and stepped out on the porch. I didn't see anything. But you know how you get just that weird feeling that somebody's watching you? And that's kind of what I had going on at that time. So, you know, I make sure that I, rather than hiding the pistol behind my back, I bring it up high enough so if somebody is watching me, they can see clearly that I have a gun in my hand. Well, I walked around the property and I didn't see anything. By this time, the dogs must have felt better because they were both in there laying on my ex-wife. And the only thing I remember her asking me is, well, did you see anything? Nope. But I sure had this feeling somebody was out there. Well, we went on to do the best that we could and try and go back to sleep. You know, an easy chair. I'm sure we were watching something stupid on TV. Probably some fucking home improvement show or, you know, Extreme Hoarders or My Big Fat Life or some shit like that. That's the kind of shit she was into. Me, that just put me right to sleep. So, anyway, you know, we got our days going, and after a, well, productive but uneventful day, when she got home, she walked in and she just asked me, she says, so what's the deal with the gross box on the porch? What gross box on the porch? So we both go out front, and sure as shit, there's a fucking box out there. It looks like somebody had just, like, poured their Thanksgiving food trash in and then scraped it off because it just had that weird, well, garbage smell, and it was just, I don't know, it just had like food stuff still on it. Like I said, again, the smell on that thing, it was kind of like if you don't take your trash out right away after you cooked chicken, and either the blood diaper down in the bottom or the bag that you get them in has that chicken blood, and you remember, oh, I gotta take that out. And then when you come home from work, you're like, ugh, you know, what's that disgusting, ugh, type of stuff. You know, that's kind of what this thing smelled like. And I opened this thing. I'm gonna take it out to the trash, you know, just to kind of see what's open. So I flip open one flap, and inside this disgusting box was one of the platters that we gave to the guys down at Homeless Park. But this is where it got really weird, and quite frankly, it kind of scared the fuck out of me. Inside the flap, there was this note that was scrawled on there. Actually, it looked like a kindergartner wrote it. Yeah, that's a fucking word, Rob. Wrote it. Wow. All it said was, it was good. Thanks. Now we family. Now, if that wasn't creepy enough the way it was, the words were so misspelled. So it was, and was spelled W-A-Z. Good was spelled G-U-D. Thanks was T-H-A-N-K-X. Which, you know, I could see that. People do that with just texting. Now we family. This was the creepiest. Family was spelled F-A-M-L-E-E. And I don't know why, it just like sent a shiver down my spine when I read this. And I said to her, I read it to my wife at the time. I don't want to drop any names. I said, what the fuck is this shit? And all she said was, I don't know. And how did he find out where we were living? I remember I said, I don't know. Maybe we should call the cops. So she called them, and they said, because she worked in association with that particular employment, that's what I'll say, they said, well, is, you know, is there anybody there? I mean, they knew who she was when she called, and they were like, yeah, it's okay, so are you in imminent danger? No. She explained to them what was going on. So, of course, it took the cops about, I don't know, hour and a half to get there. And at this point, now in the evening, this is freaking me out. And I don't really want to deal with the dogs going ape shit with this cop standing there. So we step out on the porch and we explained everything for the last 24, 48 hours. And the only thing this asshole had to say, I cannot fucking believe this shit.
Well, he probably isn't dangerous. I mean, after all, he didn't really cause any damage or try to go in the house. I think he was just showing you some appreciation. There isn't really anything we can do anyway, but if something else happens, you let us know. We can do a few drive-bys.
I told my wife at the time, oh, God, I feel so much fucking safer now. How about you? And she says, oh, yeah, right. So then I went ahead, and I have a couple of wildlife cameras. I'm a hillbilly. We all know this. I've already told you guys, you know, I identify as hillbilly. I'm actually a hillbilly Klingon, so there you go. Anyway, so rather than going and getting a security system on Black Friday weekend, where no thank you with the people, I set up some wildlife cameras. And the only thing I really wanted to make sure was that she knew where, my ex-wife knew where her gun was, and to make sure that it was loaded and ready for use. Take the safety off, point and shoot. And I just wanted to make sure that she was safe with that. The other thing, too, was I kind of figured that the girls, Harley and Daisy, would let us know if somebody was nosing around again. But, I got to thinking, I doubt it because they didn't let me know at all that this bum had showed up putting shit on my front porch. So, you know, that was honestly just kind of really freaking me out. So I remember like Saturday and Sunday came with no incident, but Monday I got home from work before she did. And in between the front door and the storm door, there was another note written on a piece of trash. Wow, I'm about to tell you what. This just gives me shivers thinking about it. It read, "Don't worry, when you at work, I always watch me new family." Of course, all the spelling, the spelling errors. Worry was spelled W-O-R-E-E. When was W-E-N. The letter U, and at work, work spelled W-E-R-K. Family was still spelled that creepy fucking F-A-M-L-E-E. I looked around outside the house. I didn't see anything that maybe had been disturbed. But I could hear the dogs in the house making a fuss. So I go inside expecting Daisy to just be running loose because, well, she was the Chihuahua and evidently she couldn't cause as much damage. So, but anyway, Harley was usually in her kennel. And I got to say, she's such a good girl. And even now, I don't even shut the door. That's her safe space. She goes in there, she lays down. But this day when I came in, they were both in the kennel. Now, after I let them out, though, you know, I had to think and, well, it's probably, I'm probably just overreacting. But I did grab my gun, and I did walk through the house, just making sure everything was good.
And, I get back upstairs. The girls were outside. They come back in. Everything's good. And I just had to kind of take this deep breath and go, okay, keep in mind, your wife at the time had been known to shut the door to a room, closet, bedroom, bathroom, whatever, and not realize Daisy was in there. So, it's not a big leap to think that maybe, Daisy was laying in her kennel with Harley and she didn't see her and she just locked the door. I mean, it's possible. So after the wife got home, we just scratched that. So nothing really happened that night. And I thought twice about telling the wife about what happened with the note. But I also knew that if I didn't, she'd probably skin me alive if something were to happen. So I told her, and we really didn't get a lot of sleep that much that night. Kind of, I guess you'd call it taking shifts, just in case. Well, I remember Tuesday morning, and again, me being the early bird, I get up, it's between 5 and 6, and I open the back door to let the dogs go out, and I start to take the trash out to the can, and the gate to the backyard was open. Now, what really surprised me on this is we always padlock this thing, so nobody could take our dogs, and nobody could, reach over the fence, maybe reading a meter or something, and forget to shut the gate, whatever. So I went over to shut the gate, and the girls had gotten out. They were laying on the ground in front of the garage door with that stupid padlock, probably 10 feet away. So it's not like it just fell off. I hustled them back inside and everything. To say the least, I'm a little bit freaked out by this point. I got them back in the house, and then once the sun came up, I went out to the yard to make sure everything was good, and I noticed something very strange in our garden. Now, maybe if it had been a little warmer, maybe there would have been a smell in the cold, because of being so cold. Maybe the stink really hadn't started, but there in our garden was like these miniature scarecrows, but they were squirrels, like with tree sticks shoved up their butts, and their arms were outstretched in a circle. And, like I said, it looked like they were just tiny fucking scarecrows. And in the middle of it all was this fucking pigeon. You know how pigeons have that, gray and purple. You can see the iridescence in their feathers. Fucking decapitated pigeon. I'm just like, oh, fuck me. So I ran in the house to get my phone to video it, and the wife stepped out and the dogs darted past her. So now, here in the middle of this chaos, I know not to let the dogs anywhere near these dead animals, because who knows what this maniac might have done? He might have been trying to poison them. I don't know. And I sure as shit didn't want anything to happen to them. So I went to get him, and I hollered at her, hey, get your phone, call the cops. I will tell you this. A Chihuahua, being about 8 pounds, if even that, she wasn't too bad to get in the house. But Harley? Oh, God. She really wanted to check it out. Now, like I said, she was only about, well, she wasn't even quite a year old. Strong, gangly, 80 pounds, trying to fight her the entire way. Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, she kicked my ass, but I got her back in the house. So, anyway, the wife called the cops, and guess who comes out? Same fucking cop as before. Officer Steele. I won't ever forget this fucker. He looked at the vandalism and reviewed the video from her phone after she went out and and was videotaping with a phone. Yeah, you don't do fucking tape anymore, dumbass. Just show how old I am. The video off of her phone. And while she was doing that, I went and grabbed the two wildlife cameras and reviewed the little bit of footage on there, and nothing. I mean, absolutely fucking nothing on there. Showed the backyard, but he avoided being on any of the fucking cameras. Well, you know, Super Trooper Steele, being fairly lazy about the whole fucking thing, he says, well, we'll do a few more patrols through the neighborhood for you. And, of course, me not missing a beat, I said, a lot of fucking good that did last night, huh? And then, of course, I proceeded to tell him that, you know, I want you to know this. I will protect my family by any means necessary, officer. And I mean any means. And, of course, he wanted to get all fucking, you know, chesty with me. Now, Mr. Pop, don't go say anything you might regret. All I remember coming back with, I'm not into making threats. I just want it on the record. I have guns in the house, and if need be, I will use them. Well, of course, after that, he left. I really wanted to know how he got in and out of the backyard again without us hearing him, much less the dogs not hearing him by this point. Well, of course, the wife at the time, you know, she says, well, I'm hard air quotes here, might have fallen asleep for another hard air quotes, little bit. Yeah, I knew how she took her naps. I mean, a fucking dump truck driving through the living room would have waken her up. And her little few minutes, little bit, could have been, you know, on the upward scale of 2 or 3 hours. So anyway, so that day, I remember that I was just going to call in sick to work and actually get, like, a security system and just kind of go all full redneck on the property, you know. What I really wanted to do was, like, buy a roll of razor wire or barbed wire and then put an electric fence thing on it and, you know. But, again, I had to know that if anybody jumped over there, you know, over the fence and they hurt themselves, of course, then I'd be, you know, up for a lawsuit because that's the society we live in these days. But because I didn't want to just leave the girls, my dogs, just roaming around, I called my niece and I said, hey, would you mind coming over and watching the dogs while I go do some shopping and that type of stuff? Now, hindsight is always 20/20, right? Well, I didn't tell Jesse about what had been happening. And that, again, that is on me. I should have probably told her. So anyway, so I go, I'm back, I'm only gone for about 2 hours, and when I pull up to the house, Harley's laying out on the front porch and Daisy's in the neighbor's yard. And I'm like, what the fuck? The dogs were so glad to see me, they greeted me right away and followed me into the house. And, oh man, I'm going to tell you what, I was pissed that she wasn't even watching them any better. I'm going to give her a fucking piece of my mind. When I walked in, see, things were knocked over, but, you know, with my dogs, that wasn't anything new. But she was nowhere to be found. Car was still there, so I knew she had to be in the house somewhere. So I started looking through the main floor, and she wasn't there, and I was getting ready to go down to the basement, and I looked out the back door, and she's sitting out on the patio. And I'm like, what in the fuck? So I walk out there, I'm ready to chew her ass. I didn't even notice that she wasn't wearing a coat. And it was only about 40, 45 degrees outside. I called her name. Jesse, what the fuck are you doing? And I walked over. She didn't move. She didn't answer me. I walked over, and she was fucking zip-tied and duct-taped to my patio chair. And so she saw me. She couldn't say anything, but she just had these tears in her eyes of, like, salvation. And I said, well, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the garage and find something to cut these zip ties. And I told her, I said, I'll be right back. So I get back, I get her cut out of there. Of course, she removes the tape because she knows how it's going to hurt or not. And we go back in the house so she could warm up. And I just said, what happened? And to be honest with you, I did not want to know what really happened because I had this gut feeling. I already fucking knew what happened. Anyway, through her crying, she says, I don't really know. I was watching TV and the dogs were outside. They barked a little bit and then it stopped. She said, the next thing I know, there's this horrible smell coming and I thought maybe they got into the trash or something, found something dead. So I get up and there's some dude standing in your archway of the kitchen. And I start to take off and he grabbed me and put a knife to my throat and made me go outside. He keeps repeating this same thing over. He says, you know family, I family, over and over and over. And the more agitated that he got as he said it. Well, to say the least, Jess was really, really freaked out. She finally was able to take a deep breath, sniffled, and said, I am so glad you're here. I am so scared. Who is he and what does he want? I said, We don't know. And I am so sorry this happened while you were here. Both with sorrow and rage on my face, she could tell that I was so upset over this. As she was calming down, I called my wife at her work to tell her that it might be a good idea for her to stay at her dad's and take the dogs with her. But she had left to go buy a few things and wasn't back yet. I called the cops again for all the fucking good that ever did. This time, Officer Know-It-All Steele came out with his supervisor, McNulty. Looked like he was a sergeant, according to the stuff on his arm and collar. Immediately, Know-It-All went in the other room to talk to my niece while McNulty pulled me into the kitchen. Says, Mr. Pop, Officer Steele has brought me up to speed on what's been going on, and we both feel as though this is starting to escalate. And I said, you fucking think? He says, well, I think it might be a good idea for you to stay somewhere else for a little bit. We can stay with you while you gather a few things. Reluctantly, I agreed, and then I called my son to tell him what was going on and to find out if I could bring the dogs over to him. I had just got to his house when my wife tried calling me. And, as always, you know, you try and make one trip, though my hands were completely full, so I just let it go to voicemail. It took me about 10 minutes to drop off the dogs, the stuff, and see the kids. And I went back out to my truck, got in it, saw that there was 2 text messages and a voicemail. First text message read, I missed your call. What did you need? Second text message, I tried calling you. I left you a message. Voicemail, hey, I got your message. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to drop off these things at work, and then I'm taking the rest of the day off. So I'm going to swing by the house and grab a few things. And that is where it cut out. I tried calling her back. No answer. And I'm going to tell you what. I had this fucking feeling that something was wrong. I told my son and daughter-in-law that I would be back as soon as I could, but if they didn't hear from me or my wife in the next hour, call the fucking cops. I got in my truck, and I'm going to tell you what, I fucking was beating those horses all the fucking way back to Grand Island. About a 30-mile drive, I made it in about 15 minutes. And I kept trying to call my wife every few minutes. No answer, no answer, no answer. So the closer I got to home, the more worried I got. I pulled up to the house and frantically ran inside shouting for her. And I hear, what? She was in the bathroom. I had this little sigh of relief. And I said to her, I have been trying to call you, and you didn't answer. Well, my tummy wasn't feeling real good, so I had to get in here and use the bathroom right away. And I said, where's your phone? I left my phone in the Jeep. She asked me then, where are the girls? And I told her that I'd taken them over to my son's place and told her of the other events that happened with Jesse and the police. And I just said, come on, we need to get going now. And at that moment, I turned around, and there was this filthy, middle-aged man with long, straggly hair and a beard that looked like it might have been a rat's nest, stumbling from my kitchen into my living room. He had that weird, best way I can put it is Charlie Manson look, where he had his head kind of tilted down and he looks up through the tops of his eyes. You no go anywhere. Family stay. He was holding a knife that looked, well, frankly, like it was right out of a horror movie like Scream or something. And the way he had this look in his eyes, it was this look of insanity and confusion like he gave us on Thanksgiving in the park. But then there was this rage that you could tell was building inside of him when he looked at me. The stench coming off of him made us both gag involuntarily. We were just like, combination of rotting meat, body odor, and human feces. Crossed my mind that, well, you know, my gun is only sitting about 15 feet away from me on top of the gun cabinet. But if I tried for it and I wasn't fast enough, my wife might get hurt. You be my new mommy and daddy. Sit down, mommy and daddy. By this time, he was starting to walk closer and closer and closer, and the smell got so much worse the closer he got. We both continued to gag, and eventually she ended up puking on the living room floor. He walks over and pats her on the shoulder and says, "It's okay, mommy. I barf too, see?" And he pointed at his clothes where they were stained with his own vomit. I thought, you know, if there's ever a time for me to try and go for the gun, this is it. I went to stand up. "Where you go, new gaddy?" I was just going to get something to help clean her up and clean that up. "No, no, new daddy, you leave it. You sit down, new daddy." I sat back down and looked at her, trying to telepathically reassure her that it's going to be okay. Don't have any fucking idea how, but it's going to be okay. Then I made a huge mistake. I touched her, patting her knee. And this action sent him into a fucking rage. He started pacing back and forth, hitting himself in the head and shouting, "No, daddy, you no touch my mommy. She my mommy, not you, mommy." He then made this weird guttural growl that increased with volume, and the look of hatred on his face was one that I can't ever recall ever seeing on anyone before. Pacing faster and faster, now he's rocking at the waist. Suddenly he stops and looks right at me and goes, "No! I know stop old daddy. I stop new daddy. You know touch mommy. I stop new daddy." And with each outburst, he kept moving closer and closer and closer to where we were sitting on the couch. Then, just like a light switch, all movement stopped. He got quiet, stood still, only about 2 to 4 feet away from us. And he started having an argument with the voices that I assume were in his head, looking at me and turning that into glaring at me. "But new daddy nice, him feed me, him give me new blankie." Then he moved his gaze over to her. This was a look of adoration. "I save new mommy."
No! And he was stomping his feet. New mommy nice. Her feed me. Her love me. New mommy. Me no want other new mommy.
Then he started to whimper. His bottom lip was quivering. And it was like this dam of rage just burst. His eyes glossed over. He snarled at me like a madman, growling and shrieking at even a higher pitch. No! And then lunged at me. He sunk all 10 inches of that knife blade into my right shoulder with such force the knife actually exited on the other side. The strange thing about being stabbed is the pain isn't immediate. It's masked with shock. Shock from his behavior, shock from his actions, and most definitely from fucking being stabbed. The pain was, as it started to return, was almost unbearable. And just when I didn't think it could get any worse, guess what? Time to level up, player. He starts fucking twisting the knife back and forth and laughing maniacally. I stop new daddy. I save new mommy. Get dead now, new daddy. Get dead. She started to make a move to help me, and it startled him and diverted his attention, thank God, away from me to her. And about that time, the door burst open. Grant Allen's finest shows up. McNulty was the first one through the door, followed by another officer I hadn't seen before. I don't know where Mr. Know-It-All was. Guns drawn, shouting for him to get down. He gave them absolutely no acknowledgement. Again, they shouted, "Get down!" And he continued his attack on me, yelling over and over, "Get dead now, new daddy! Get dead now!" Because of his noncompliance, the other officer pulls his taser and warns him one last time, and then pulled the trigger. The dart shot forward, embedding in his back, and a surge of electricity ran through him, rendering him near unconscious. However, again, time to level up, player. Because this fucker was still holding the knife, the electricity also surged through me. I thought the pain with just the knife was bad, but that taser intensified that by tenfold. To say the least, I passed out. From what I was told when I came to, they had subdued him, handcuffed and shackled him, and drug him out of our house and tossed him in the car. As I was coming to, I could see the paramedics working on trying to calm her hysterical reactions down by giving her some oxygen. And while I'm starting to put everything together, the paramedic and fireman that were attending to me, one of them says,
"Well, you're pretty lucky, pal. No vital organs were hit."
I looked at him and said, "Yeah. I feel real fucking lucky." They finished loading me into the ambulance. I looked in the back of the police car, and this crazy fucker was beating his head against the window as they hauled him off to jail and me to the hospital. Well, long story short, it was after Christmas when he was finally arraigned. However, we had to face our attacker again. And in court, while they are passing their judgment, one of the dumbest things that they could have ever done, they said, "Well, we need to make sure that he's mentally capable to stand trial. And the only place here in Nebraska that you can have that done is in Lincoln." As they were leading him away out of the courtroom, he stopped, turned, looked right at us, smiled, "Bye, new mommy," glared at me, "By new daddy, me always family, I be back."
So we were told on the way to the hospital, the transport was in a crash on the interstate near York, which is about an hour away. Both the driver and the medical attendant were both killed in the accident, and our tormentor was gone without a trace. The bad thing is, that was a little over 3 years ago. They still haven't found him yet. I live about 45 minutes away from my third wife. I got a phone call day before yesterday. There was a note on the porch, in between the screen door and the front door, that all it said was family. I didn't have the heart to tell her. I had just found one myself. And yes, it was fucking misspelled.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Fuck It All. Just fuck it all for your mental health.
Hey guys, it's Rob. You may not know this about me, but I suffer from both severe depression and high anxiety. I've tried several different ways to treat these things that sometimes just run my life. I've isolated, medicated, therapied, and they all help to a degree. But I found a treatment that, if used responsibly, can be effective in my day-to-day life. Some days require only one dose, and then there are days that I have to self-care several times a day. Fuck It All. The newest emotional stabilizer that's not a pill or even a suppository, but it is orally consumed. Boss piss you off? Fuck It All. Spouse being a dumbass? Fuck It All. Unexpected bill hits your checking account? Fuck It All. Life has been getting consistently harder and harder for everyone over the last several years, with inflated gas and grocery prices, housing shortages, so on and so on. And if you're like most Americans, myself included, you've tried self-medicate either with alcohol and or drugs just to help change your frame of mind. But I have the answer right here, right now. Just fuck it all. Dr. Dean Goldberry, doctor and research scientist into human emotion behavior and the inventor of the newest and greatest mood-enhancing treatments around, fuck it all. Trust me, fuck it all has started to really change my life, and it may do the same for you. Fuck it all. This product has not yet been approved by the FDA.
Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly.
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, Cincinnati WKRP. Got kind of tired packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be, just maybe think of me once in a while. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, that's fine. That should do it. No, that'll take care of it. There's no need to bother Mr. Carlson with this. He's a very busy man. Thank you. Oh, good morning, Mr. Carlson.
Morning, Jennifer. Hey, what was that?
Nothing you need to know about.
Oh, good. If you like the way you handle things.
It's all part of my job.
Well, nobody does it better. How about the mail?
That's the important stuff. This is yours.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry.
Good morning, big guy.
Oh, hey, Herb, how's it going?
Terrific. Excuse me. Morning, gorgeous. You got anything for me?
Only the mail, Herb. That's all I'll ever have for you.
Herb, I know you're in a hurry, but can I have a minute?
Surely.
I was just wondering how things were going in sales.
Fine, just fine.
I mean, you know, it's been quite a while since the format changed. I just, you know, thought I'd ask.
Everything's squared away, big guy. Thanksgiving's coming up, and I got a lot of special stuff in the works.
Good, good. Hey, glad to hear it.
Yeah. Previous management had things pretty well screwed up around here. No offense.
WKRP? No, I'm afraid he's not in. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Carlson never returns calls.
Les, how's it going? How's what going? Business, the news game, your department. Who wants to know? Well, you know, just me, the station manager.
Well, in that case, it's going just fine. No problems.
Good, good. That seems to be the big story of the day.
Taxes. Nobody wants to pay them anymore.
Ah, I see.
And in other headlines, Thursday is Thanksgiving again. Inflation continues. There's more fighting than that. And in football, this may be the week for the Bengals. Or maybe not. Turning to the weather, it's 45 degrees and cloudy.
Thanks for that update, Les. Keep up the good work.
No problem.
Don't touch those.
I think I'll probably just slip out back, Jennifer, and look around, maybe review the troops, rattle a few cages.
Okie dokie.
If anything, you know, big comes up, I'll be right back here.
You're welcome.
Don't touch that.
I'm sorry, I was...
Ripping music, huh?
Do I hear dogs barking on that thing?
I do.
Good, aren't they? Hey, here's a thing called Pigs on the Wing. What does that sound like?
I don't do requests.
Well, just keep up the good work.
Giving it all I got.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Is Travis in?
No.
Oh. Hey, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Oh, you're off duty, huh? How about you? What are you doing?
I'm working on a promotion idea.
Yeah? Oh, well, maybe I can be of some assistance.
It's probably nothing you'd be interested in.
Young lady, I've done thousands of promotions in my day. Now, what's the problem?
Well, we don't know whether to give away Boston T-shirts or foreigner T-shirts.
Boston? Foreign stuff shrinks.
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
No, that's about it.
Oh, good. Well, listen, it was nice speaking with you both.
Morning, Mr. Carlson. You want to see me?
Andy, why don't you come right on in here? Matter of fact, Travis, just come right over here and take a seat. Sit down right there. Get you anything? Coffee? Gum?
No, I'm
Oh, good. Well, then let's why don't you just put those shiny boots right up there on the desk like that. Relax. You rascal, you so-and-so, you rough-and-ready guy, you, huh? You just get comfortable there and then give me the big picture.
Big picture?
Yeah, you know, give me the rundown, your view from the top. Yeah, I mean, you're my right arm, man. What's happening out there in the field?
Oh, you mean how's business?
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, shoot it to me straight, hotshot.
Well, everything's fine.
Oh, listen, I get that answer from everybody around here.
Oh, no problem.
What's really going on, Travis?
Nothing.
Well, I don't like it. It's too quiet.
Do you think the Indians are going to attack?
Possibly. Worst things have happened to us since we switched to rock and roll.
No, sir, look, everything is running very smoothly. I think we're on the right track.
Herb doing all right?
Yeah.
Les been proving right along?
Yep.
So, how about me? How am I doing?
I think you're doing just fine.
You do? I see. Why?
I don't understand what you mean.
What am I doing good at?
You're the station manager.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I am. Yeah, but what do I do?
You are the boss. You're the boss.
Uh-huh. All right.
And you do, boss stuff.
As such as?
Well, you, well, then again, you, well, let me put it this way. Just knowing that you're in here, boss, knowing that you're at the helm gives us a lot of confidence.
Ah. That's not good enough, Travis. I mean, I sit in here all day, at the helm, as you say, but I never get a steer of the ship. I'm in charge here. I want to be involved.
How?
Well, first off, I need to have the day-to-day details if I'm going to get the big picture. And no detail is too small. I want to personally approve everything that goes on in this station. Traffic, continuity, programming, engineering, the whole ballgame.
Well, sir, now, I don't
know
about...
Now, let's face it, Travis, you're a good man. One of the best. But I'm the big guy.
Huh? Oh, I see.
Now, you get out there and you let those troops know what's expected of them.
Mr. Carlson.
Yes.
Everything is going so well now.
And it's going to get even better. Ha-ha! The old spirit.
Andy, you got to do something about Carlson, man.
What's he done?
The guy won't leave me alone. I mean, he's driving me crazy with his suggestions.
Ah, Johnny, he's the station manager and he feels left out.
Look, I took this job originally because I figured Carlson was like me. Guy who doesn't quite know what's going on around him. He likes it that way. Now he's into everything.
Well, I can't say as I blame him. After all, he is the boss.
Andy, you've got to do something about Mr. Carlson.
Yeah, well, so I hear.
He's hanging around my teletype machines. He wants to go out on assignment with me. I work alone, Andy. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, Les, I know that you do. Okay, I'll talk with Carlson.
Andy, I got to talk to you about Carlson.
Yeah, well, get in line.
Hmm? Oh, sure. I haven't got all day.
I was just kidding.
I know. All right, what's Carlson done?
Well, he blew a deal I've been working on.
Oh, who was the client?
A little pipe shop downtown. Cash on the barrel head, out the window.
What'd he say?
He said it was just a front for selling paraphernalia for drug users.
Okay, I'll talk with him. Where is this?
Andy, you got a minute. Carlson, right?
What's got into him, man? He used to be scared to death of me, and I thought that was a good relationship. But now he's always come up trying to jive me, you know? Wants to know if I need anything.
Well, like what?
A watermelon.
Andy, Mr. Carlson.
Yeah, I know.
He wanted to approve the T-shirt promotion.
He's way out of line, Andy.
Wait a minute. I assure you that there is nothing in the world wrong with the big guy. Now, trust me on this.
Are you?
You're all here.
Good. I was going to call a meeting anyway.
Mr. Carlson, I need to have a word with you, sir.
Not now, Travis. I got some tremendous news. I just concluded a deal that's going to make radio history.
I can't give you all the pertinent information at this particular point in time, but I can tell you that you'll all be receiving your assignments later. Les, Herb, don't have to tell you what this means.
Heck no, big guy.
I'm with you 100%.
Perhaps you should tell me, Mr. Carlson.
Les, we are now a rock and roll station. And these casually dressed people over here seem to think they've taken over the place. Just want to tell you that Les, Herb, and I were here before all of you. And we did pretty good on our own. Am I right, Herb?
I'd say better than pretty good, big guy.
Les?
Just what exactly did you have in mind, Mr. Carlson?
Only the greatest promotion idea of all time.
Great.
All it's going to take is your complete cooperation, absolute secrecy, and 20 live turkeys. Herb, you're in charge of getting those turkeys.
You got them, big guy.
Well, it looks like this thing might work out for Carlson after all.
He's got two turkeys with him already.
Well, gentlemen, tomorrow is Turkey Day. I almost feel that electricity in the air.
You know, I think I could feel it too, Mr. Carlson, if you'd let me know just a little something about it.
What? And let every station in this town find out about it? No, siree. Use a haircut, Les. Did you get those turkeys?
Yeah, but it wasn't easy. When that farmer asked me what I wanted with 20 live turkeys, I had to do some pretty fast talking, let me tell you.
What did you tell him?
I told him it was a secret.
That's pretty fast, Herb.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, would you come in, please? Gentlemen, as I speak, Johnny Fever is on the air. On the air telling the world about one of the greatest events in gobbler history.
You want me, Mr. Carlson?
Oh, yeah. Come in, Jennifer. Have a seat.
No, thank you.
Well, all right. At this particular point in time, I would like to dictate a press release.
I don't take dictation.
What? Oh, all right. I guess I can do this thing myself. It's probably going to be a long meeting, though, so why don't you get coffee for all the guys here?
I don't get coffee, Mr. Carlson. We agree. You have to draw the line somewhere. Will there be anything else I can do?
No, I got about a dozen.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Thank you. How did she get away with that?
Are you kidding?
All right, gentlemen, tomorrow's the big day. I think we ought to review our assignments. Les, you have those remote lines?
Yes, sir. And I've had a big banner made up with the station call letters on it. W-K-R-P.
So why does Les have to do a remote?
Because this promotion is news, Andy. Big news.
All right, Travis, the newspaper's coming?
Nope.
No?
No, they said the giving away turkeys wasn't their idea of news.
Why, those fools. They'll be sorry. This event's going to set the town on its ear.
Mr. Carlson, sir, this is your promotion, and I respect that, but don't you think you should let us know some of the details?
Ours is not to wonder why, Travis.
Right. Les?
Yes, sir.
You get out there and you take care of the shopping center. Travis, you take care of everything here at the station.
Where are you going to be?
Ooh, I'll be around. All right, gentlemen, let's get out there and win one for WKRP. Give me old rah-rah, sis boom-bah stuff, guys. We'll really whip this place into shape.
Big guy, I don't know about these other guys, but you can always count on me. I hope you know that.
I do.
By the way, where will I be?
I want you right there with me, by my side.
I'm like a son to him.
Listen, man, you have any idea what's going on?
Nope.
What?
In 5 minutes, we're going to find out what's happening.
What do you suppose he's up to?
Carlson?
I don't know. You should have been here for the big wig promotion.
Well, naturally, it didn't work. And we ended up with a warehouse full of wigs.
Carlson, he couldn't figure out how to get rid of them until the Guatemalan earthquake.
Well, the Red Cross called out, you know, for blankets,
clothes, anything.
So Carlson, out of the goodness of his heart, shipped these destitute earthquake victims in Guatemala 3,000 blonde strips. I still have this picture in my mind of quake victims stumbling through the rubble, all looking like Dolly Parton.
Okay, Johnny, you ready for more whatever?
Always. Les, you still there?
Yes, Johnny.
You see anything yet?
Well, no, there's quite a crowd, though. Where's the big guy?
I don't know where Carlson is, but we're coming to you right after this record, okay?
Okay, no problem. I can handle it.
Okay, real close. All right, fellow babies, and now it's time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So, take it away, Les Nessman.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am,
huh?
I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye News Hawk Award last year.
Good for you, Buckeye. Now get out of my doorway.
I'm sorry. Creep.
So far, so good, huh?
I'm here with hundreds of people who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. Now, the crowd is... curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh, yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. W-K-R-P. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen. What a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver. Plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. There's no parachutes yet.
Those happy skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but... Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes. One just went through the windshield of a parked car. This is terrible. The
cars running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the humanity. Turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd.
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. Those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. Film at 11.
Look, Mr. Mayor, yes, there was some damage, sir, but no one was hurt.
Mr. Colley, we know what the Humane Society stands for.
The National Guard? No, sir, the National Guard, I don't think it's that serious.
Well, Mr. Colley, a lot of turkeys don't make it through Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir, thank you very much.
Yes, goodbye. That was the Humane Society. They sounded pretty upset.
Oh, Andy, why did you let Mr. Carlson do this?
Because it's Mr. Carlson's station.
This man must be stopped before he promotes again.
Now, listen. Mr. Carlson was here at WKRP when we were just kids. And I bet you he's going to be here long after we're all moved on.
Yeah, but Andy...
Look. Now, Venus, if we cut him out, what's the point? Look, we're the young ones. And sometimes I think we're just a little bit too concerned about being number one. Now, Mr. Carlson, he... Well, he's just Mr. Carlson. He just wants to be a part of things. Should have worked.
Can I help you?
No, I'm fine.
Hey, Mr. Carlson. What's it like to ride in a helicopter?
A lot of fun.
Mr. Carlson, could I get you a cup of coffee?
What? No, thank you, Jennifer.
You agreed?
Huh? Sir? It was the most unusual promotion idea I ever heard of. Never been anything else like it.
No, I don't suppose there has.
I thought it would work. I planned this thing right down to the last detail. It was perfect. Where'd you get those birds?
Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. Gets pretty strange after that.
Oh, it's strange.
Yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Pulpeye Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer and editor is Robert Popp. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.